Thank you. Good to be back in the Lord's house this morning. Good to see each and every one that's come this way today. And we have some that are not here. I request in Sunday school that y'all pray for Tracy. She's sick this morning, not able to come. Dylan's preaching at Hendersonville this morning, and so remember him in our prayers this morning, that he might have the words that they need to hear this morning. Let's pray for these things. There are other things that were mentioned I can't think of right offhand, but you may have something on your heart this morning like you'd like to bring before the church before we go to the Lord in prayer.
Brother Barry, I'd like to thank the church for the flowers and the fittings and the cards and notes of all the prayers you had for my sister. I have a special request too. I've got my oldest living brother, 80 years old. As far as we know, he's never been saved, and he's so frail. Doesn't look like he's got things, let something change. He's got to be around. Please pray for him.
Lord help. Let's pray for his brother. Someone else this morning. I do have this in way of announcement this morning. It says, please join us as we honor our parents, Donald and Jean Langford, and celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Saturday, the 26th of March, 2011, from 3 to 5 p.m., the Community Center at Charlie Daniels Park, at Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and this has got the address on here. We was aggravating Brother Langford the other day that the 50th was the big rock anniversary, the big rock. So I know they would all be glad to see us. So if you can make it out that way. Anything on anyone else's heart? If not, y'all remember me this morning as I try to stand. I ask Brother Jimmy if he would to lead us in prayer.
Kind, gracious, most loving, merciful Father, Lord, as we bow, Lord, one more time before you, we just bow humbly, dear God, today, dear Lord, in service unto thee. Lord, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with us today, dear God, that you guide us and direct us, dear Lord, with the words that you have us to say, dear Lord, and we pray, Heavenly Father, just help us, dear Lord, today. We ask, Lord, that you be with the shoulders in front of your Lord. It's his age, dear Lord, his Lord, dear Lord, for a number of years. That he hasn't been saved, dear Lord, first and foremost, dear God, that he would maybe something through that was said at the funeral or through the circumstances, dear God, would have an effect, dear Lord, on him, dear Lord, that he would seek me, that he might be saved, dear Lord. Pray, dear Lord, for his family, dear Lord, we ask, Lord, for their family, to be with them, dear Lord, to give them grace and strength in the loss of their loved one, dear Lord, and we ask, dear Lord, that you be out of those that are not here today, dear Lord, those that are sick, however, be here for one reason or another, dear Lord, we pray, dear God, that you watch over them, dear Lord, and find them safe, dear Lord, to bring them back again, dear Lord, and we ask, dear Lord, that you might do a better job today, dear Lord, as he stands. God, direction of the Lord, the word that you said, dear Lord, bears, that you meet with them and bless them, dear Lord, in their service. Lord, ask you, Lord, just to meet with us today, dear Lord, forgive us, oh God, our sins. We ask, Lord, if there's any that might be here today and lost, Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that there might be something said or done, dear Lord, that we get their attention, that their eyes might be opened, dear God, with understanding of their condition, Lord, that they would seek you, dear Lord, that they might be found. give you thanks in all that you do, Lord, that your name might be lifted today. In Jesus' name we humbly beg and pray. Amen.
Turn to page number 20.
Thank you.
I'm going to, this morning, with the Lord's help, look at some things in the book of Daniel. I've been reading and studying over some of these things this week, and there's a particular verse that has been on my heart. There's a lot of things that can be said out of the book of Daniel. There's a lot of I guess what you might call obscure passages that there has been a lot of false doctrines that had been built out of this particular book. Just from now, you start reading in the book of Daniel in the first chapter, and it speaks of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king, Babylonian king, and that you read on through, and these children of Judah, actually I think we probably spoke of them recently, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three young kids were raised and they were taught in their schools, and they were children of Judah, and they come to play a big part in delivering the truth through the king without the king even knowing it. There's a lot of these things that is said in here that there's been a lot of false doctrine that is built up upon them, and a lot of heresy, I believe, in my opinion. But I'm going to look at some of these things today with the Lord's help, and I know I won't be able to do it justice this morning, so y'all pray for me as I try to stand, and just that I would have the words that the Lord would have me to say this morning. I'm going to just start my reading in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. I'm going to look at some verses here, starting about 31, and I'll read through probably 45. But thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as the iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break into pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And it says in the 44th verse, and in these days of the kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break into pieces, the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Now, there's a lot of things that was put in. First of all, King Nebuchadnezzar was, like I said, he was the ruler and the king of Babylon at that particular time. This was about in the 580s. He had a dream, and it come to pass that he couldn't even remember the dream. He didn't even know what the dream was that he had dreamt, but yet it bothered him. And so he sent out to his wise men, the Chaldeans and the astrologers and all the wise men that he had around his court to give him advice and direction on anything that he might need to know. But these men told him that they couldn't do it. You know, said, maybe if you give me, if you told us what your dream was, there might be a possibility that we could give you an answer. But, you know, since you can't even tell us what your dream is, you can't expect us to know what your dream was and then translate it or interpretate what the dream meant. So the king told them that if they didn't do that, though, that all the wise men, including Daniel, was going to be killed. That he was just going to put them all to death. You know, he was going to find somebody that would be smart enough. But we read on and find that these wise men, they went to Daniel. And Daniel went to his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they prayed to God. And God gave them the understanding. He gave them the dream. And he gave them the interpretation, the understanding of this dream. We look in the reading here, he determined it that they are at the head of the gold. He told Nebuchadnezzar first off that he was the head of gold, and that, you know, he was the one that he was going to be destroyed. You know, we've lived in a time many years on, and each and every power and authority that has ever been, I guess you might say, in control or found themselves in control in this world that we know in, they fail. They've all been destroyed one way or another. The Lord brought them down and destroyed them. And I think so many times when, and this doesn't really have to go with what my sermon is, but I think so many times that, you know, we live in a great country, and we're a great power. We're financially and military strength. You know, we've been for years, I guess, heads above all the others. But we live in a world, in a time that this country that was founded upon the things of God, that was founded solely upon the truths of God's word, has so far turned away from the things of God that I fear that one day before long that this country too, just like all the other ones in the past, is going to fall down. I pray that doesn't happen. I pray that this country would turn back to the Lord and that He would continue to bless it. But I believe right now with all my heart that we are living in a time that... I believe we're living in I almost want to call it an aftermath of the blessings of those that come before us. We're living in a time the world is going in the other direction. It's going away from God. And you know, there was a period of time that there was great revivals around, and hundreds and hundreds upon hundreds of souls were saved. And I fear that we're going in the other direction now. And I believe we're living in the times of the blessings of and the prayers of those that have gone before us. And I didn't mean to go there, but those things come upon my heart. We need to pray about that. We need to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. You know, God's in control of everything. He's in control of this country and everything that goes on. But He set this goes into a teaching that goes on, and that Christ came into this world and He set up a government that would not be governed by man upon this earth. He set up His church. That man would not have rule or authority over this church. All these things, all these prophecies that was spoken of in the Old Testament was pointing towards the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Christ, and the setting up of His church. All these things you can go through. And in this book of Daniel, there are vision after vision, interpretation after interpretation of these visions that Daniel was given the understanding of, that he might be able to tell to these kings and relate to them. When we read here, you can go over what we just read here. You can go over into the seventh chapter and you can read also about different things. I've got a diagram here that helps me. You know, we read in the head of gold, Babylon. You go over into the seventh chapter and the lion, Babylon. The breast and the arms, Medo-Persia. The Medes and the Persians were the people that were in control at that time. And in the seventh chapter, it was the bear. The belly and the thighs were Greece, or the Grecians. In the seventh chapter, it's the leopard, and the feet and the legs was Rome. And you know, in the seventh chapter, it was divers beasts, the ten toes, old Rome, and the ten horns, referring to the Roman church. These things that is spoken of here, they are spoken of in symbolic terms, but they have very much meaning, and they have they're spoken of very clear. It might not say exactly what the name of it is, but it tells. We can go back in history, and we can look in history and the dates and the times. You know, there's not a lot of dates that is written in the Old Testament. A lot of the things that were come to pass or come to understanding, we go back into the history and we look at the kings and the dates that these kings were in power. And it lets us know and understand the date and the time period that is recorded in history. So we can go back and we can find all these things that were done that was in history. And it's important for us that we not get away from the understanding. You can get on over into the ninth chapter, and I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, and so I'm going to back up. My thought all week long has been, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands. That stone that was cut out without hands. It's written in the 34th verse, and it's written in the 44th verse. This stone that was cut out without hands, meaning to say that it was not something that man did. This was beyond man's power, that man could not do this. It has reference to Jesus coming into this world and setting up his church. This stone, we read so many times in the Bible. We can turn over to the New Testament and it talks about Christ was the cornerstone. He was the one that the builders rejected. You can find reference after reference after reference about Christ being the stone. He is the headstone. He is the cornerstone. I truly believe that when you look at through these, in the 44th verse, it says, "In these days shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." I believe that kingdom is the church, "which shall never be destroyed." We can look in the writings over to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we can see that he told them that, I can't quote it right offhand. It's very familiar, but in the 16th chapter it says, he's speaking to Peter. In the 17th verse it says, I'm going to just back up here. In the 13th verse it says, "When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say there are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Now, you look at that, and of course, everybody always goes into the translation of Peter, and you can go over into John and see where Peter's original name was Cephas, and Cephas was translated into being Petros, which was a stone, a little stone. But Jesus Christ was the rock. He was the rock that everything that was built on here. He was that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. He was that mountain. He was that city that was set on a hill that cannot be hid. That was Jesus and the church that he came into this world to set up. There's so many things that we look at here, and I believe most of us that are here today will agree with these things. There's so much, though, in this book of Daniel. You know, as I've been trying to read through and study this book this week, it is so full of prophecy, and like I said before, there's so much in here that has been distorted, that obscure verses that people have taken, other denominations or so-called denominations of churches have taken these obscure verses and they've twisted them around, and they've come up with all sorts of different doctrines because they just didn't know any better for a whole lot of the reason. They didn't know any better. I don't want to go too far or too deep or too much into this, and I know I can't, to be honest with you. I'm very limited as to the depth that I can go in this compared to some, but even over into the 9th chapter, we look at still, we see in the 9th chapter another vision that was given to Daniel. And says that the angel, that Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision in 21st verse, at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly and touch me about the time, the evening oblation. Now, this is one that seemingly there's a lot of things that's bought that has been built up on the premillennial reign of Christ, the 7-year tribulation period and premillennial reign of Christ, that the church is going to be raptured out. All those that have been saved and that are a part of the church is going to be raptured out. They're all going to go to heaven. People driving down the interstate, you know, they're just going to vanish. People in wherever they're at, they're going to vanish. The Lord's just going to take them all out. But there's going to be 7 years, a tribulation period, where Christ is going to come down personally, and He's going to minister, and He's going to usher the Jews back in, and anybody that might believe will go to heaven. Now, they get all this stuff out of these verses here, and I think it's important, and I want to go over some of this stuff this morning. Now, I pray that it's not so mixed up and that I'm throwing so much information at you that you don't get anything out of this. But all these things have been on my heart this week. And if you informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." Now, this is the vision of 70 weeks is taught here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make the end of sin and to make reconciliation for the iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. There's a period of time here that's spoken of here in this 70 week period. It is beginning with the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild and restore the temple of Jerusalem for the worship, and all the way until, I guess you could go, you'll go all the way in this 70 week period, which 1 week, 7 days equals 1 year in this particular meaning or in this particular writing. 7 days equals 1 year. So this period of time starts from the beginning or the rebuilding of the Jerusalem and the temple. And it goes all the way through, I believe, to the according to my studies and according to a lot of those that I have read after, that I believe that are that know more than me. Brother Russell, I know he said the same thing, that it goes all the way to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts where the Gentiles was ushered in. There's a large period of time there. But that it's an important thing to know and understand that this period of time was a period of time that went consecutively. It started one day and it went through the whole period of time without stopping. Now, there's a teachings in the world today that goes up to the 69th. There's 70 weeks that's determined here, but it'll go up to the 69th week and it'll stop there. And they're trying to take that last week or that last 7 years and they're trying to throw it out into the future for the Lord to come back. Please don't believe that. Please do not believe that. Most of the people, if you I don't know if you watch any of these so-called preachers on TV, but if you do, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear that. That's what they're going to say. It says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And that's important. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even troublesome times. After 70
in 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, I believe all these things that is going on here, the after the 7 weeks, or after the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks, that you, after that, you come up with the 69 weeks. And the trouble seems to be coming with the last week, with the last 7 years. And this is the part that a lot of people want to change. They want to say, even the Jews, you know, still to this day, believe that the Messiah has never come. They believe that Christ has never come into this earth. And they want to take and they want to try every way in the world to get the Jews back in. Even though we can look in the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, in verse 31. Now this is Old Testament. This is still prophecy from the Old Testament that is telling this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, though I was the husbandman unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in the inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, it was prophesied that the old covenant ways, the Jewish tabernacle worship, all these things was going to come to an end. You know, Jesus walked, when he was walking on this earth, up until the time of his death, all the sacrificial worships that were going on, he was right there with them, wasn't he? All, you know, every Passover, that as long as he lived, he partook of the Passover. The worship, the killing of the lambs, the shedding of the blood, all those things. But see, there was a point in time that come when he died for the sins of this world. When he hung on the cross and he died for the sins of the world. And at that very point in time, in the scripture it says, the veil of the temple was rent and torn. The veil that went into the holiest of holies, where the priest of the old time would walk in and meet with God, it was rent and torn in two. It was torn down, torn apart. So now the worship, the new covenant that come into effect, Christ was trying to get that in. That was that stone that would come and would crush and break down all these other nations. The truth, Jesus Christ, says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for a week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause sacrifice of oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and to determine, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You know, you turn over into the reading of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Many use this particular chapter to try to teach something other than what it teaches, but it's speaking of here just what we talked about. We look into the 15th verse, and it says, when ye therefore see the oblation of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back and take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. All these things that was spoken of here is having reference to the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 A.D. And they want to catapult this into a time some say that this is a time that after Christ has already been, this is the 7-year tribulation period that all these things is going to be going on. But it's not. These things that is spoken of right here have already happened. It's already prophecy. It's already things that are in the past. So when we look at that, we need to know and understand that. It spoke of shall confirm the covenant for a week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of oblation to desist. There's a week left. 3.5 of those, Jesus, from the time of his baptism to the time of his death, approximately 3.5 years. And from the time that Jesus died and was ascended into heaven, from that time into the period of time where you go over into the 10th chapter of the book of Acts and Peter preached to the Gentiles and Cornelius, about 3.5 years, fulfilling that last week. See, as Jesus came into this world to set up and to rebuild and to bring forward his covenant and the teachings of those things went on after his death. He spoke about so many times about, you know, and you can look in 1 John, you know, he says he was a light and the people wouldn't see him. His own people refused to see him. Jesus' teaching was always to the house of Israel. It was always to the Jews. You can read all the way up in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and you can see that in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, and Jesus and the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go ye rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His instructions was always to go to Israel first. Always to Israel first. There are a lot of people think that the Jews will go be ushered back in. But we can turn over into the 9th chapter of the book of Romans and you get a teaching about the spiritual Jew. Those that have been saved by God's grace. There's a difference between spiritual Israel and natural Israel. The people of natural Israel aren't the same people. It says not all Israel are of Israel. So all these teachings, they go together and they have great meaning and they have great substance. And I know I didn't do a very good job this morning of bringing a lot of these things out possibly as clear as they needed to be. But church, don't let anybody tell you that after the Lord comes back, that he's going to come back. There's a lot of people that are teaching that today. That after the Lord comes back, he's going to come back. The Bible teaches a second coming when the Lord comes back. He's coming back one time. One time only. All these things that are taught, like I said, they go deep. And they're... There's a lot of things that can be said about them.
Jesus came in his personal ministry and he set up his kingdom. He set up his church in his personal ministry. While he was here on this earth, that stone that the builders rejected, that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, the Messiah that was prophesied of in that is Jesus Christ. That's my message today. I pray that the Lord can take some of these things and use it. It's study these things out for yourselves. I know it's not up on our website yet that I saw when I looked, but they're going to put Brother Russell's commentary on Daniel on our website. His commentary of Revelations is on there now. But these things just because they're obscure, just because they don't come right out and say plainly and specifically, is the and our lack of understanding possibly to point out the truth has allowed so many people to take these things and twist them and make them into things that they're not. And it's our responsibility to understand them as good as we can. And I know I don't, but you know, I try. I want to try, and I want to understand, and I want to know. And it's everybody's responsibility to know as much as they can about the truth, so that when they hear something that's not right, they'll know it. That they can't be swayed or pulled away or drawn away with enticing words of men. God bless y'all. That's my prayer. That's my message today. Would it be a thought or a word on anyone's heart?
Appreciate the word. Appreciate
the anyone else this morning? If not, once again, I thank each one of you for coming today. I hope this has been of some help to someone. We got a business meeting tonight. All the Cannonwell, please come back. Do the Lord's business. Just remember the prayer request that we mentioned today. Those are the lost loved ones. Those are requested about their souls. Let's remember our lost. Nothing else to be said or done. Brother Bird, I'm going to ask you to dismiss this place.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day for many blessings. We thank Thee for the message that was brought to us this morning. We thank Thee for this church and for what she stands for. We pray, Lord, that the gospel would ever reach out. That there be lost that would come this way that would hear the word. And we as Thy people might be up and encouraged to go on. Do those things, Lord, that give Thee honor and glory. Forgive us of our sins. Dismiss us now. Go with us. Bring us back to the next point in time. We ask it in the name of Thy Lord.
Amen.
I didn't do it.